الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and also our sisters listening over receivers. In this ayat kareema, in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses those people who have iman. This quality of iman is amongst the greatest bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us seated here. And each and every one of us seated here, as long as we have this quality of iman, then we have our ticket to Jannah. So we have this ticket to Jannah. Alhamdulillah, what a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if you look at this world, and in particular a person who is undertaking a journey from one country to another country, so merely obtaining his ticket is insufficient for him to reach his destination. There's a lot of other preparations which are required, which are necessary. There's other documentation which are needed for him to be allowed on that plane, on that particular flight. For example, the person goes to the airport and he says, I'm not prepared to check my bags in. I'm carrying all my bags and I'm taking everything in the plane. He will immediately be stopped. He will be asked to return. Or the person tries to board the plane with a ticket without obtaining his boarding pass. So then again, he will be obstructed, he will find difficulty to get himself on that plane. So alhamdulillah, we have this ticket to Jannah. This is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must try and ensure that we have all the other aspects which are related to this iman, which are necessary for us to enter Jannah with ease and with comfort. Our Sadiza Ikram used to say that some people will enter Jannah, some mu'mineen will enter Jannah directly, and some mu'mineen will enter Jannah indirectly. And na'uzu billah, Allah ta'ala protect us, but they will enter Jannah via Jahannam. They will enter Jannah via Jahannam. We know in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned to the effect that that person who has the atom's worth of pride in his heart, so he will not even experience the fragrance of Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala completely eradicate every aspect of pride from our hearts and give us this quality of absolute fana'iyat, thinking nothing of ourselves. I was reading the Malfuz Kitab on the life of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Alayhi. We know he has passed away and he is buried. We are very fortunate that he is buried in our country. But in one of his letters, at the end of the letter that he had written, at the bottom he wrote there that I am the sand beneath the shoes of the people. I am the sand beneath the shoes of people. And when I read that, I said, look at the fana'iyat. Look at how, what they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. And that is why they were prepared to make such khidmat for deen, because they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. And this was a salient feature in the lives of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, in the lives of Sahaba-i-Kiram, in the lives of the Ahlullah, the Tabi'een, the Muhaddithin, absolute fana'iyat regarding themselves as nothing. Our Ma'a Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur, beautifully he explained it. He said that a person who is flying high in the sky, let's take the example, he's flying in a helicopter. So if he looks beneath him, he will regard himself as very high, that, you know, I have really reached a certain point. But if he looks at it in a different angle and he says, no wait, there is a plane that is higher than me. I am flying at 3,000 feet above sea level, but there is a plane at 10,000 feet above sea level. And the plane that is 10,000 feet above sea level, He will say that there is a plane at 25,000 feet. And the plane that is at 35,000 feet, he will say, well, look, there's a fighter jet that is even flying higher than that. And the person who is in the fighter jet, he will say that, look, there are planes that have already reached the moon and are reaching Mars. So the Ahlullah always look at those who are above them. They look at the a'mal of their predecessors. They look at the a'mal, the taqwa, the piety, the crying, the pain of those who passed on, who had such piety in them, who had such taqwa, yet they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing, as absolutely worthless. But if we were going to look down upon those who are, so to say, less than us in terms of knowledge or in terms of wealth, then we will suffer from this complex, the superiority complex. And this is the one disease that is causing, that is the real root to many problems in our lives. Whether it's conflicts, whether it's arguments, whether it's anger. Many a times you look down, there is pride hidden, hidden deep inside. So nevertheless, that person who has this disease of pride, so he will not even experience the fragrance of Jannah. But he has Iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to take him to Jannah. So he will be cleansed of this pride in the fire of Jahannam. This fire of Jahannam will burn out this pride. And thereafter, he will enter Jannah. So each and everyone seated here, none of us want to go that route. If a person wants to travel from one country to another country, he doesn't want any difficulties. He doesn't want any complications. He wants to be able to travel comfortably with ease. That is why Hazrat Mu'abara al-Haq sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, he gives a beautiful example of the external and the internal. That many a times people make the statement that the main thing is what is in the heart. As long as the heart is pure, so all the external, whether it's the beard, or whether it's the kurta, or whether it's bringing sunnats into our lives, so this is not so important. As long as I have this iman and I have the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my heart, so then this is sufficient. So beautifully, logically, he explains the same example, similar example of a beggar who has purchased a first class ticket. So now as he is traveling, as he enters the airport, he is going to be stopped. The police are going to ask him, you are not allowed to enter. Beggars are not allowed in the airport. When he presents his ticket, it will allow him to go on. And at each phase and each step of his journey, he is going to be stopped. There will be some checking, going through his profile, seeing his background. He may have to wait a little while. So there will be continuous complications. In the same way, those of us who have not allowed our internal and external to conform. Yes, a person can have the external, but it's not necessary that the internal is correct. As Ma'ayunus Sahib Rahmatullah used to give the example, he used to say that for us to bring our external right, it takes a few minutes. A person can suddenly just go purchase a kurta, make intention that he is growing his beard, and that is all there is to it. But it's not necessary that the internal is right. So there has to be a conformity, that just as we make the external conform to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the life and the example, the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same way our internal has to also conform to the beautiful akhlaq and seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wore the kurta, he wore the turban, he wore the topi, but at the same time, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was considerate. He had akhlaq, he was kind to his neighbors, he was kind to his wife, he was generous, he was loving. These are also important qualities that we have to bring into our hearts. He forgave people, he overlooked the shortcomings of others. So, this person will be stopped at every aspect of his journey to the Akhirah, that the external was not conforming to that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the day of Qiyamah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be quenching people from Jam-e Kawthar, so certain people will be chased away. And ulama-i kiram have explained the reason that they will be chased away, that these people were ashamed and embarrassed regarding the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They felt ashamed. Look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram. They were not ashamed of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Famous incident we have heard over and over again. That Sahabi who was seated eating amongst very important people, whether it was the Romans or the Persians, and a grain, a morsel of food fell on the ground. A servant was sitting next to him. So he went down to search for that morsel and grain of food. So the servant told him that, look, we are seated in the court of important people. This is not their custom. They will look down upon you. So his answer was, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاُولَئِ الْحُمَقَى. Must I leave the sunnah of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more beloved to them than everything else. This was true ishq. This was true love. True love is not merely confined to the tongue. A person claims to love his father. He praises his father. He speaks very highly of his father. But when his father asks him, my dear beloved son, can you get me a glass of water? Or can you make this khidmat for me? So then the son says, no, look, I'm not prepared to do that. But I really do love you. I have a lot of love for you. But as far as making khidmat for you, that and listening to your needs, fulfilling your wishes, so that is a bit hard for me. So will we say that this is true love? Is this true love for the father? True love for the father, even if that child doesn't praise the father, even if the child doesn't speak very highly of the father, but when the father asks for something to be done, that child is immediately at the beck and call of the father, immediately he goes and fulfills the need of that father. Will we not say that this child is obedient? This child has got mahabbat and love, true love for the father. Similarly, we just passed through the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and all of us claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let us look into our lives, that when there was a conflict, on the one side, there was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was the way of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the other side, there was the way of the disbelievers, the kuffar. We were being pulled to in that direction. So which one did we give preference to? Did we give preference to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the way of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or did we leave that and abandon that and adopt the way and the style of those who are the enemy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he said, must I leave the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for these foolish people? So this was true ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nevertheless, a person who allows his internal and external to conform, and even if you look at it, logically speaking, many of us, whenever we are doing anything, we always look at the external. A person is going to purchase a home, so if the exterior of the home is absolutely dilapidated, half falling to the ground, but the inside of the house is very beautiful, will we immediately purchase that house? A person is going to put a proposal for a girl. They say this girl is she's got very, very good character. She is very, very good in nature. She's very soft and whatever good qualities she has internally. But she is blind. She doesn't have a limb here and something is missing there. And she's got this sickness and that's it. But it's confined to the external. Externally, there's a little bit weaknesses here and there. But internally, alhamdulillah, wonderful. So which person will really get married to such a girl? So there suddenly we're looking at the external, we take into consideration the external. So the external is very important. A person goes to the fruit shop, the person selling the bananas or the apple says, you know, this apple is absolutely sweet. But when we're looking at the outside of the apple, it's looking terrible. The peel is completely off color. We will not buy that apple. Despite the person saying that the apple is very sweet, we will look for the one that outside looks nice too. And then we say, you know, inshallah, the inside is also good. So similarly, respected elders and brothers, this is very important that we allow our internal and our external to conform to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the sunnah tariqah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, in this ayat kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses each and every one of us who has this iman, this ticket to Jannah. This iman is such a dawlat, such a ni'mat. But Allah ta'ala takes it one step further. That after you have brought this iman, you need to improve this iman. You need to beautify this iman. A person purchases a home, a building. He purchases the building. But he doesn't stop there. After buying that house, he now puts the curtains, he carpets the house, he ensures there's a beautiful garden. He continues beautifying that home. He gets the furniture, he fits in the cupboards, and we can go on and on and on. People go to such extents in beautifying their homes. That is why one beautiful saying of our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that we spend so much of time and effort, we spend so much of time and effort in the beautification of our bodies and our faces. We know that it is a multi-billion dollar industry, cosmetics and so on. But he said, how much of time and effort did we spend beautifying our hearts? Whereas, when a person leaves this world, that is what will be taken into consideration. Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ Can't remember the words of the hadith. But, وَلَاكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ That Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Allah Ta'ala does not look at our external actions, our beautiful bodies, our handsome faces, how pretty the woman may be. Walakin, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the hearts and looks at the a'mal. What is the quality of the a'mal? Not necessarily the quantity. Not necessarily the quantity, but rather the quality. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah ta'ala created this whole death and life, this concept of death and life. Allah ta'ala created it to test us, that which of you will do that action which will have the highest degree of quality in it. So, Allah ta'ala looks at this, and Allah ta'ala looks at the hearts. Allah ta'ala looks at what is in the heart. Externally, a person may not be very handsome. A person may not be an Arab. That is why, in the farewell pilgrimage, may Allah ta'ala reward Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. But what a statement he made, setting the standard till the day of Qiyamah in his ummah, that la fadla li arabiyyin wala li ajami. That there is no virtue that an Arab enjoys over a non-Arab. But rather, the only virtue that one enjoys over the other is taqwa. The one who has more taqwa, he has virtue and superiority over the person who does not have this quality of taqwa. And this is supported and substantiated and derived from the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to unite humanity at large. Look at the love he showed, whether the person was an Arab, whether the person was a non-Arab, whether the person was Persian, whether the person was Roman, whether the person was African, it mattered nothing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved those people who outwardly may not have been so beautiful. There was no such thing as racism in Islam at all. So, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this verse that Allah created these different tribes and these different nations just so that you may recognize one another. Can we imagine in this masjid, if every single musalli looked the same, how would we recognize each other? So Allah Ta'ala created everybody differently, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different complexions, so that we can recognize one another. And that person, remember, I mentioned to the students that person who mocks another person's features, whether it is his complexion, whether it is the nose, or whether it is the ears, whatever it may be, we are actually mocking the artwork of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very serious. That person did not create himself. That person did not choose his color. None of us stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, create me like this and create me like that. If anybody could say that, perhaps Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said that. Because he was created in total perfection. As the Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, mentioned, كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ It is almost as if, Ya Rasulullah, you are so beautiful, you are so perfect, you have such wonderful features. It is almost as if you have been created in the manner that you wanted to be created. But the reality is that nobody was created in the manner that He wanted to be created. Rather, each and every one of us, we are the artwork of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person goes and starts mocking at somebody's painting or somebody's craft work, that person will definitely feel offended. So the person who we are mocking, definitely he will take offense. But more offense will be taken by the Creator. So therefore we should be very, very careful. Never look down upon a person because of his color, because of his complexion. There is no such thing in deen. It has been completely wiped out. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set that standard in the final pilgrimage that none of you have virtue over the others. Only virtue you will enjoy is this taqwa. And this very ayah is inviting us to the same thing. Increasing, inculcating, looking after this taqwa. One is we have to bring taqwa into our lives. And once we brought this taqwa in our lives, we have to look after this taqwa. Shaykh al-Arab wal-Ajam, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, Allah Ta'ala give him complete shifa. He mentions, jis jaha mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That wherever I may be, and our Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah used to say, whether I'm in a plane, crane or train. In other words, wherever a person is, my taqwa must be safe and sound. I must ensure that I do not destroy this taqwa. And coming back to that saying of our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he then goes on further to say, that look, we have spent so much of time and effort in beautifying our external, our body and our faces. How much of time have we spent in beautifying our hearts? And then he further says, beautify the heart with the noor of taqwa. Beautify the heart with this noor of taqwa. And a beautiful example which came to mind before the students with their barakat, I mentioned that if a person is building a house, so he may not know how to decorate that house interior internally. So what he does, he hires an interior decorator. He pays him the money, he makes that little bit sacrifice and he takes out those few coins and those few notes from the wallet, or he does the transfer from one account to the other, so there is some pain that is taking place on the heart. But what then happens is that interior decorator, he does his work. He comes into that home and he revamps it and he beautifies it and he modifies it until when the person enters that home, he takes a deep breath of pleasure and enjoyment looking at the beauty of that home. So this quality of taqwa is that interior decorator. That when we bring this taqwa into our lives, we take that pain. And what is that pain? That pain of giving up sins. That when we are walking outside, there are some pretty faces. There is a taqaza, there is a desire, there is something that is pulling us to look. But then we take that pain of our hearts and we make the payment for taqwa. We make that payment. When we make that payment, once taqwa comes into our hearts, that taqwa will do its job and it will start beautifying our hearts. And then when people come into our sohbah, when people come into our company, they take a deep breath of pleasure and happiness. They find sukoon in our company. They find tranquility in our company. They find happiness and peace in their company. And this Ahlullah are such, many people have made these claims that they've had such pareshani, so much of pareshani, but a few minutes in the company of certain pious person and that wali and this wali, all the pareshani was forgotten. And sometimes with the barakat of that wali, those pareshani and those problems and those difficulties were even resolved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this beautiful quality of taqwa, allow us to inculcate into our lives, to protect it and to increase it.